Well, good morning, everybody. What Sunday is it today? What is special that we should be celebrating as Christians today? What is that? All the Pentecostals, what is it? Pentecost Sunday. You know what? All those years ago, over 2,000 years ago, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension to heaven, I think it was seven weeks after that, the Holy Ghost hit Jerusalem. Those people were praying in the upper room and the Holy Spirit hit them, and they were much louder than you are this morning. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were empowered to go out and do miracles on behalf of Jesus. And we're still empowered today. The Holy Spirit is still available today to us. Who here has had the experience in an attempt to lose weight of cutting back on buying junk food so that there are no chocolate or lollies or biscuits or cake in your pantry? You have got rid of all temptation to overeat. Your pantry is a Mother Hubbard cupboard. It is bare. But come 7 in the evening, after a sparse tuna salad without the mayonnaise, you're standing at the pantry door, desperately looking through the shelves of the pantry in the hope that you may have overlooked a delicious morsel resembling a chocolate, a biscuit, or a piece of cake. You're seriously hoping that you're going to find something that wasn't there before. Who's had that experience? Yeah. It's not just me. I'm not the only greedy one. I've done it countless of times. Well, it is this same feeling I have when I read through the second book of Kings in the Bible, when I read the history of the northern kingdom of Israel, not the kingdom of Judah, but the northern kingdom of Israel. I find myself longing to discover an Israeli king who loves God, who is totally obedient to him in their kingship. Every time I read through, and I've read through many, many times, I hope to find a nice, godly king who just pops up, who I hadn't noticed before. But sadly, there's none to find. They're all horrible. They all served false gods. They all committed atrocities. They all broke God's law. And because there was not one good king to be found, the population of the northern kingdom of Israel wandered further and further and further away from the one and only true God, Yahweh. And as a result, they were eventually carried off into captivity by the Assyrians. Even though I've read the following scripture time and time again, it still makes me sad to read it. It evokes a strong emotional response. And I'm going to read it to you now. 2 Kings 17, verses 9 to 18. And if this scripture convicts you, so be it. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all their towns. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. At every high place, they burned incense as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that aroused the Lord's anger. They worshipped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, "Turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your ancestors to obey and that I delivered to you through my servants, the prophet." But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their ancestors who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry hosts and they worshipped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sought omens and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. Verse 18. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left. Isn't that amazing? 17 verses of the horrors of Israel. And verse 18, so the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his presence. Said in half a verse, let us pray. Heavenly Father, use this word for your glory today. Flood this place with your Holy Spirit. Let revival begin in our hearts as a result of your word. Amen. God is an extremely patient God. You may have noticed. Just reading this serious passage of scripture in 2 Kings 17 makes it exceedingly clear that God is patient. Nehemiah 9 verse 17 says, you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. God puts up with a lot of rubbish. It's clear in the Bible that he's not quick to anger. He's slow to anger because he is a God of hope. Romans 5 verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe God hopes in you. He hopes in me that we live our lives pleasing to him. Because when we live our lives pleasing to him, it is the best thing for us. It's the best thing for us. He loves us so much that he wants us to do what he says because it is good for us. One of the verses that really hits me in 2 Kings verse 17 is verse 9. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. It's a silly, stupid thing that people should even believe that they can do secret things against God. Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 that God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. In Proverbs 15 verse 3 it says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God himself declared in Jeremiah 23 verse 24, can a man hide himself in secret places so I cannot see him? The obvious answer to that is no, he cannot. There are no secrets from God. People may think they're hiding from God and keeping secrets from him, but the truth is he knows it all. So don't kid yourself. He's everywhere. He sees everything. He knows your unspoken intentions. He even knows your unspoken intentions. There's no doubting that God sees us. But the problem is, with our evil, sinful behavior, we stop ourselves from seeing God. The sin stops us from seeing, from hearing, from feeling, from touching our Creator. The secret sins and all the filth that followed of the northern Israelites removed them from the presence of God. That's the summation of that long, sad chapter I've read. The secret sins and all the filth that followed of the northern Israelites removed them from the presence of God. Be sure your sin will find you out. No matter what you've done, it will one day catch up with you. It did with the Israelites. It finally caught up with them because God sees it all. And the consequence of their sin was their removal from his presence and living a life without him. You don't get to see God with sin in your life. But the beautiful thing is that when people become true Christians, they enter a transparent relationship with God. The Bible says that God is light. And a relationship with him means that everything is exposed in his holy presence because he is light. God looks upon us in favor, and we get to see him through the work of his Holy Spirit in our lives. This is the Christian life. God looks upon us with favor, and we get to see him through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of the greatest gifts Jesus has sent his church is the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. One of the greatest of gifts Jesus has sent his church is the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. I love the Holy Spirit. He's very busy, you know. He's a very, very, very busy Holy Spirit. He's continually at work in me, and he's continually at work in you if you are a Christian. Let me point out how important the Holy Spirit is to you and me as Christians. The Holy Spirit first made contact with us by shining a holy torch, the light of God, on the sin in our hearts. He said, "Yuck, look at that. You are a filthy sinner and you need to get right with God if you want to see him." And then the Holy Spirit took that holy light, that torch, and he shone it on Jesus and said, "There's your forgiveness from God. Receive him as your savior and begin to live your life according to what he says. Do it his way, not your way." Then suddenly, miraculously, from a tiny seed of faith, a new spirit is born in our hearts as we responded to the sound advice of the Holy Spirit. And for the first time, we could see Jesus because of the work of the Holy Spirit. For the first time, the Spirit of Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, joined our newly born spirit in cleansing us, guiding us, comforting us, protecting us, teaching us, and empowering us as we grow in God. Let me say that again. For the first time, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, joined our newly born again spirit in cleansing us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, guiding us, comforting us, protecting us, teaching us, and empowering us as we grow in God. Christianity is a transparent relationship where God sees us. That's a given. There are no secrets. But we see him as we grow to be more like him. And just in case you are wondering, there is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in you. There is evidence that he's doing a work in you, because his awesome presence brings love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This delicious fruit automatically comes into your life with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to ask for the fruit, it is there. And this fruit becomes more and more evident as you submit to the will of God through obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it tells us to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here's another way of saying it. I love this paraphrase. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If you're living as the Holy Spirit requires, you will not succumb to temptation. The Holy Spirit empowers you to say no to sin. I used to have a beautiful dog called Buddy. There's a lot of dogs called Buddy, aren't there? I think every second dog you meet is called Buddy. Well, my dog was called Buddy. He was a pure white Bichon Frise, but he had the biggest, blackest, cold, wet nose. And he would extensively use that nose to nudge me, to let me know what he wanted. If it was time for his tea, he would nudge me. If he wanted to go outside, he would nudge me. If he needed just a little attention, that big, black, wet, cold nose would nudge my bare leg and it would alert me to attend his needs. Now, I'm talking true Christians now. The Holy Spirit nudges us all on a daily basis. He does. He nudges us all on a daily basis. Jesus has not left us alone. When he ascended to heaven, he promised something to the disciples. He was not going to leave them alone. He sent a helper who is with us all the time. And the helper is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He is with you, empowering and seriously wanting to endow you with spiritual gifts so you can live a life according to God's plans and purposes. He's there constantly. He never stops working. 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 He nudges, he prods, he pushes, and he gives a great big sometimes if he must. Who's felt a kick of God? There's many times where I've gone, oh, all right. But he never stops working. He never stops working. He never stops working. See why I say he's so busy? Do you daily acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Or are you in the habit of pretending he's not really there? And can I tell you, the longer you pretend, the easier it is to pretend he's not there. It's dangerous to pretend that he's not there, Christians. Your relationship isn't growing if you're behaving as if he's not there. You're not walking in the Spirit if you're pretending He's not there. No relationship grows if you behave as if the other person isn't there. That's a very cruel thing to do, to behave as if someone isn't there. Do you know that? That's one of the naughty things some marriage couples do, to behave as if their partner isn't there. You don't do that. Christianity is a transparent relationship with God. Christianity isn't a set of rules that you follow. Christianity is a transparent relationship with God where there are no secrets. A sinful secret will stop you from seeing God. A sinful secret will lead you astray. You may be able to keep a secret from me as your pastor. That would be pretty easy. You may be able to keep a secret from your best friend, from your wife, from your husband, from your children, but it is impossible to keep a sinful secret from the Holy Spirit. God is light, and the only relationship He offers you is a totally transparent relationship. So be open, honest, and attentive to the Holy Spirit. He's talking right now. Pay attention to what He says. Don't ignore Him when He tells you to forgive someone. Don't ignore Him when He tells you to stop gossiping. Don't ignore Him when He tells you to stop being lustful or greedy or to get off that mobile phone or the computer. Don't ignore Him when He tells you to read the Bible instead of Facebook. Don't ignore Him when He asks you to reach out in love to another person, when He tells you to be generous. Don't ignore Him when He tells you to pray. Don't ignore Him when He tells you to praise and worship Him. Don't ignore Him when He asks you to go deeper in Him. He's always calling us, come on. Let's do this better. Let's go deeper. Let's get closer. Don't let anything get in the way of your focus on Him, particularly a complacent attitude or a secretive heart. Colossians 1 verse 27, and we've looked at this week in the life groups, it says that Christ in you, not Christ and you. It says Christ in you, not Christ and you, because an and can sort of be separated, can't it? But when He's in you, He's there all the time. Amen. This is about His will in you all the time. We're going to partake of communion soon, but before we do, I want us to take the time to check our hearts. The scriptures encourage us to check our hearts before communion. So let us be obedient to the scriptures. Please close your eyes and bow your heads, everyone. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to us all this morning, including myself. He's saying, I see you, but are you seeing me? Right now, are you listening? Because I'm speaking very clearly through my servant, and I'm calling you to a closer, more transparent walk with me. I jealously desire the Spirit that is within you. You have been ignoring me. You have been pushing me to the side, but this must stop. Now is the time for a more transparent relationship with me. Before we take communion, keep in an attitude of prayer. If you feel the Holy Spirit is nudging you, I want to pray for you where you are right now. I want you to lift your hand in acknowledgement of your desire to move closer to Jesus this morning. Is there anyone who would like prayer? Yes, I can see that hand. Before we hand out communion, if you're watching online, lift your hand if you want me to pray for you too. Is there anybody? Yep, I can see those hands. Yes, 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 yes. Do you know what? I'm going to lift my hand too. I'm going to lift my hand for me as well. Heavenly Father, you have spoken and your saints are responding. I pray that this moment will be a monumental moment where we allow your Holy Spirit to take precedence over everything in our lives. God, I ask that we will be a people who walk in step with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we receive your cleansing. We receive your guidance. We receive your comfort. We receive your protection. We receive your teaching. And we receive the power of the Holy Spirit today. May there be no secrets on our part, but a fully transparent, faith-filled heart towards you. Because the truth is, you deserve nothing less. You've given your all for us. Lord, help us to give our all to you. Amen. Amen. I'd like the musicians to come forward. And our ushers are going to distribute the emblems as we sing that beautiful song, Waymaker, which I feel says it all for this sermon. So we're going to sing Waymaker one more time before we take communion together. Would you please stand as the ushers come around with communion?